This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
If you're listening in today from a hospital bed, then don't get up just yet. Just soak up the atmosphere, relax and stay where you are for a while yet. And our theme today is All Saints' Day, which is also known as All Hallows' Day. It's celebrated on November the 1st, the day after All Hallows' Eve, which is Halloween. And to Christians, it reflects themes of light and life and hope, in contrast to the darkness and scariness of the night before. I'd like to begin with a song of mine which contains a vision of heaven ablaze with glory and wonder, based upon the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. It's called The Throne of Heaven, or simply Jasper Carnelian. It says in Revelation verse 2 of chapter 4, "And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and the one who sat on it had the appearance of jasper and carnelian." These are both semi-precious red stones. It's a beautiful vision. It unfolds and we see all of those surrounding the throne to worship God.
Jasper, carnelian, shining from your face, colours that shimmer from your throne of grace. Offered to us now, elders surround you, holy men of old, seated in splendor, wearing crowns of gold. Thunder and lightning, seven lamps ablaze, sea made of crystal. On this side we gaze. Four living creatures, many eyes of fame, tell of your wonders, speak your holy name. Father Almighty, Holy Blessed Lord, who was, is, and shall.
All Saints Day is an opportunity for Christian believers to remember all saints, known and unknown, throughout Christian history right up to the present day. It arose from the Christian tradition of celebrating the martyrdom of saints on the day on which they died. When martyrdoms increased during the persecutions of the late Roman Empire, a very special day of celebration was put in place in order to ensure that all martyrs, known and unknown, were properly honoured and not left out. long ago, a video was posted on Facebook of an overly excited Japanese rugby fan who could not contain his emotions on bumping into his all-time hero, Welsh rugby legend Shane Williams. The lad was all of a shiver. His heart was racing, desperate for photos and also for selfies of himself standing alongside his all-time hero. It was so funny. Those who seem to be most admired and adored in today's world are celebrities from the world of sport, music, cinema, and even reality shows. All people, it seems, need a hero. But in the dim and distant past, when I was a child, we looked to inspirational men and women. The saints were regarded as special people of God who were set apart for God's purposes. These were the ones who were admired and adored. Although, mind, I do have this image, I must admit, of Stanley Matthews, the great footballing hero, sharing the glory in our house at least. These saints and martyrs were much admired for their courage under persecution and for their steadfast faith. They faced slow and terrible tortures, being flayed to death, being roasted on gridirons, fed to lions, set upon by bulls and gored, skinned alive, boiled in oil. But would they give up their faith and worship the emperor? No. Such was their commitment to Jesus as Lord of their lives. It makes you think, doesn't it? So, who were these saintly martyrs and what kind of lives did they live? I discovered a really clever song recently which mentions over 100 saints by name. I wonder how many you can identify as you listen to it. Here is that song set to a popular Gilbert and Sullivan tune and sung by Paul Camerata.
Mary, Joseph, John the Baptist, James the son of Zebedee, and Peter, Andrew, Matthew, Philip, Thomas, John, Bartholomew, and Simon, Zealot, Thaddeus, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Dismas, Paul, and Barnabas, and Stephen, Luke, Ignatius, Sylvester, Mary, Magdalene, and Martha, Mark, and Timothy, and Linus, Clement, Rufus, Tecla, Zosimus, Felicity, and Anacletus, Polycarp, Hippolytus, Perpetua, and Justin, Martyr, Christopher, Clement of Alexandria. There's Cecilia, Dennis, Pontius, and Genesius, and Agatha, and John, and Paul, and Valentinus, Cyprian, and Barbara, and Gregory of Nyssa, Basil, Ambrose, Helen, Lazarus, Augustine, John, Chrysostom, Boniface, and Athanasius. Hilary, Sebastian, Philomena, Lawrence, Finian, and Benedict, Scholastica, and Patrick, Cosmas, Damian, and Adalbert, Anselm, Olaf, George, and Jos, and Nicholas, and Beckett, Francis, Dominic, and Bonaventure, Stanislaus, Aquinas, Albert, Catherine, and Bridget, Rita, Casimir, and John of Gotzer, Thomas, Morton, Fisher, Francis, Xavier, the Joan of Arc, Louis, Montfort, Joseph of Cupertino, Ignatius of Loyola, Aloysius, and Juan Diego. There's Therese, Don Bosco, Maria Goretti, Elizabeth, and Seaton, and Martin, Vincent, Bernadette, Antonio, Andrew, Kim, Dagon, John McElgani, John Vianney, Teresa, Benedicta, Maximilian, Catherine, Drexel, Padre Pio, John Amola. These are the only saints for lack of breath that I could mention, but there's many thousands more that are deserving your attention.
Other saints of old weren't classed as martyrs, but held up as examples of a perfect spirituality that ordinary folk could never attain. They performed great acts of charity and self-sacrifice. Some saints were extreme examples of Christian holiness, the likes of St. Cuthbert, St. Aidan, Padre Pio, St. Teresa of Avila, and St. Francis of Assisi. And some saints' relics were even renowned for their healing properties. So we have martyr saints, holy saints, but then there's a third type of saint mentioned in the Bible. St. Paul, in his letter to the early churches, often addressed all members of a church as saints. He wrote to the Christians in Philippi, to the saints in Christ Jesus. And he wrote to the church in Corinth, to those made holy in Christ Jesus. So in a sense, he was saying to them that God loved his people, his own, regardless of what they could or could not do, and no matter what they might achieve in life. Through their commitment and belief, they'd been cleansed and made holy in Christ Jesus. St. Peter has this to say to the churches in a letter known as 1 Peter. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Blessed is the Lamb whose blood flows.
father sat upon, spat upon, ride it on. Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? I got no place to go. I've walked around Soho for the last night or so. Ah, but it doesn't matter, no. Blessed is the land and the king. All the meth drinkers, pot sellers, illusion dwellers. Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me? My words trickle down from a wound.
It would be a mistake to think of them all as perfect. They were just people who were trying to be like Jesus. They were very ordinary. They struggled and were well aware of their weaknesses. And they were people who grew to rely on God in their everyday lives, in their successes and their failures. Let's listen to our reading today, which tells of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Here it is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Though many came to listen to Jesus, Matthew tells us that it was his disciples he was addressing. He was preaching here something new and revolutionary. Some describe these Beatitudes as his manifesto. He was about to turn the world upside down. He was actually inviting his followers to take upon themselves his own nature, for he would go on to ask nothing of his followers that he wouldn't demonstrate himself in his own life. The Beatitudes reminds me of a story about a sports day at a school for children with Down syndrome. The main event was the 60-meter sprint, and all the children began the race well. But halfway down the track, one of them, a little girl, fell flat on her face and hurt herself. One of the other runners stopped in his tracks and hurried back to help. He was quickly followed by all of the other competitors. They picked her up and they all ran together, holding hands, crossing over the finishing line together. And everyone in the crowd watching on cheered. Unheard of. Runners just don't do that kind of thing. They follow the rules. But no, these children didn't. They followed their hearts. May I quote to you from an international prayer leaflet here, which has a lot of wisdom in it. It says, "There is a God who knows everything, the real reasons, the hidden stories, the deepest motives, and he may be trusted to judge justly especially for those for whom hope of justice is faint. What is God like? He's Father to those who trust and honour him, both now and far into the future, for those who shape their lives his way, whatever the struggle. And the leaflet goes on to say, in a harsh world of weapons and bombs and fences and walls and water cannon and border forces and closure and rejection, the hallmark of God is compassion. He knows our frailty, how short-lived we are. He's different from us, but not distant. He's forever. His consistent love and righteousness are utterly reliable, because his throne is established in heaven and his kingdom rules over all here and now, whatever the situation.
There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the sun we'll stand, made faultless through the land. Believing hearts find promised grace, salvation comes. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthems through emerald courts and sapphire skies. Their praise.
In the past, saints of old rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for their Lord. Their self-sacrifice strengthened the Christian churches and bore witness to others of their faith. If we were ever ordered to deny our faith on pain of death, could we be as brave? Jesus predicted what was to come in the future for those who followed him. We can read it in Matthew 10, where he says, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Are we willing to put our trust in God from this moment on, to offer him our future and all that we are?
From this moment on, I raise my hand, my clutching hand to you. In that hand, I give that life to you. From this moment on,
see you.
To sum up then, what exactly is a saint? How can it be explained simply? There was once a little girl who was with her family in a party being shown round one of our great cathedrals. As the guide was explaining an historic tomb nearby, the girl was staring at great stained glass windows through which the summer sun was streaming, bathing the cathedral floor in magnificent colour. As the group was about to move on, she asked the guide in a clear voice, "Who are these people in this pretty window?" "Those are the saints," the man replied. That night, as she was getting ready for bed, she told her mother, "I know who the saints are." "Do you, dear?" replied the mother. "Who are they?" The little girl replied, "They're the people who let the light shine through." Here's a song which happens to be a beautiful prayer too, sung by Northumbria Community, called "Christ as a Light."
Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. Christ as a shield, overshadow me. Christ under me, Christ over me, Christ beside me, on my left and my right. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful.
I'd like to leave you with one more song by Northumbria Community again. This time it's "The Blessing," just for you. It says, "May the saints and saviour watch over you." From Andrew, my technician.
Bye everyone.
And from myself, Sheila Hamill. Bye for now.
May your life in this world be a happy one.
May the sun be warm and may the skies be blue.
May each storm that comes your way clear the air for a brighter day.
May the saints and saviour watch over you.
May your life in this world be a happy one.
May the sun be warm and may the skies be blue.
May each storm that comes your way clear the air for a brighter day.
May the saints and saviour watch over you.